Those of you that were here this morning know that I preached on the subject, Be Ye Unmovable. And I mentioned that God hasn't changed and he doesn't want us to change. He wants us to be steadfast. He wants us to be unmovable. And I mentioned three things when I got to my sermon this morning that we ought to not move from. We ought not to move from the fact that the Word of God is the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. We ought not move from the fact that Jesus is the way of salvation. There is no other way but the way of the cross. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And then the third thing we ought not to move from that I mentioned this morning is God's plan is for us to go, going into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we ought not to move from those things. We ought to be steadfast about those things. Now, tonight, I want to be practical. This morning I said, be unmovable. Tonight I want to preach a sermon I've entitled, How to Be Unmovable. And I want to give you five suggestions that I think will help all of us, if we'll listen and apply them, to be steadfast, to be unmovable, to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. And again, there's a wonderful promise in the last part of that verse where it says, for you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Sometimes it seems to us that it is. We'll visit and we'll talk to people and nothing will happen for a long, long time. And it just seems like, nothing's being accomplished. And like we wrote on the certificates we passed out this morning, Only eternity will show the results of our labor for the Lord. And I think we'll get to see it. I think there will be people in heaven that will come up to Lois, for example, and say, you don't know me. I opened a box from Menards. I found a little track. I read that track. I asked Jesus to save me. When I got to heaven, he told me you were the one that put it in that box. Only eternity will know. But we have this promise. You can know that your labor is not in vain. And so tonight, like I mentioned, I want to be practical. I want to give you five suggestions on how to be unmovable. Number one. Check your position every day. Check where you are every day. Because it's a whole lot easier to make minor corrections than it is to make a major comeback. Now, let me give you some examples. I hate to use Nick again tonight, but I am. So, Nick, come on up here. Now, just sort of, do you dance?
Not professionally.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't either. I've only danced one time, and that was with my cousin when she got married, and she insisted that I dance with her. But my understanding of dancing is, that when somebody sort of does like this, you sort of come this way, and when they go like this, you sort of go this way. I mean, they do it on your back. And so can you just sort of remember that when I... Okay, we got it. Okay.
I thought you were going to ask me to dance.
No. We're Baptists. We don't dance. but here's my point. It's a whole lot easier if we check to be unmovable, to be steadfast, if we check our position every day. And so this is where God wants Nick to be. Okay? Now, he can move a little bit. See, you got this down. He can move a little bit every day. Just a little bit every day. Now, if he's not checking his position every day, let's say he's only checking his position once a month, he can move a long way before he knows that he has moved. And it's going to be a whole lot harder for him to move back to this point where he's supposed to be if he waits till he gets there, as opposed to if he starts out here and then he moves a little bit and he says, wait a minute, I'm checking my position. I've moved a little bit. I need to move back. It'll be a whole lot easier for him to make those minor corrections than it would be to make the bigger one. Okay, you did good. Thank you. The same way in our walk with the Lord. Same way when it comes to the things that we ought to be steadfast about and to be unmovable about. And it also applies to a lot of different areas in our life. You know, if you're losing weight, okay? If you're losing weight and you lose some weight, then I think you ought to weigh every day. Because if you've lost weight, and you know, and here's your weight, and you gain a pound or two, it's a whole lot easier to go back on fruit juice and lose those pound or two than it is if you don't weigh for a couple weeks and you gain 10 pounds. You see what happens when you get, you know, if you've only gained a couple pounds, oh yeah, I can go back on my diet and get back to my exercise and I can get those 2 pounds off real easy and we'll do it. But if we wait till we gain 10 or 15 pounds, what happens? We get discouraged. And what do we do when we get discouraged? We eat. And some of us do. But it's a whole lot easier to make those course corrections if we monitor our position every single day and make them when the course corrections are small. I have a rock garden in front of my house. And in the fall, there's a tree where the leaves fall on it. I found if I go out every day and pick up 2 or 3 leaves, it's a whole lot easier than if I wait a couple weeks and have to go out and pick up 2 bushels at one time. I mean, I look at it and say, what's the use? There's so many leaves here, it'd take me forever. But it's the same way in a lot of different areas of life. If we check it out and know that we've moved, then we can make that minor correction. So let's apply it to the things we talked about this morning. So let's talk about the Bible. Let's say we've signed up to read the Bible through a couple times. And for some reason, we miss a couple of days. Now, it's a whole lot easier if you check your position every day and say, hey, I'm 4, 5, 6 chapters behind. I need to catch up, as opposed to waiting 2 weeks and saying, oh, man, I'm, you know, 26 chapters behind. I'll never catch up. It's a whole lot easier to remember that the Word of God is the Word of God if we do it every day. If we check our position every day, just think, the Word of God is the Word of God. I remind myself that every day. Every day I open my Bible, I try to remind myself, I am reading God's Word. I am reading what the one that created the universe wrote, wanted me to have, provided it for me. And as I remember that, I get excited about reading the Bible. You know, I try to operate my life by schedule. And I found myself lately getting up a little bit earlier so I can have more time to read my Bible, but I still get off schedule because I forget to look at the clock. And when I only want to read an hour and a half, I found I've read 2.5 hours. I said, I can't believe it. Somebody must have speeded up the clock. But again, is the Bible the Word of God? Yes, it is. Don't move from that fact. If it is, really is the Word of God, then you'll want to get into it every single day. You want to memorize it. You want to study it. You want to meditate on it, as it says, to do about itself. Every day. And again, if I check and say, oh, I didn't get to my Bible yesterday, it's a whole lot easier for me to fix now than if I say that after a week and say, I haven't read my Bible in a week. Okay? Same thing. When it comes to knowing that Jesus is the way to heaven, the only way to heaven. We ought to think about that every day. We ought to think about our salvation every day. We ought to thank the Lord every day that He saved us. Every day. And listen, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, the easiest time for you to get saved is right now. You're a sinner. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit right now, because this is His job, is trying to get you to come to Christ. He's wooing you to the Savior. That's what He does. Nobody comes to Jesus unless the Holy Spirit draws them. And the Holy Spirit draws every single person. Every single person, if they'll listen, the Holy Spirit draws them. And the easiest time for you to get saved is right now. Because you know what? It's going to be harder the next time. You know what Satan will say? Well, you heard this last week. and you said no, you can say no again. It'll be easier for you to say no the next time than it is right now. It'll be much easier the third time and the fourth time and the fifth time and the sixth time. The more you say no to the Holy Spirit, the more you harden. It's sort of like getting a callus. Okay? You know, when you get a blister, it hurts. And you notice it. But after you use that same spot on your finger or your foot, whatever it is, over and over again, you get a callus. You don't notice. And the same thing is true in the Holy Spirit leading us to the Savior. The easiest time for you to get saved is right now. And if you're here tonight, it's a perfect opportunity. Amen. To ask Jesus to save you. Same thing when it comes to God's plan, going. Okay? Going. And Lois asked me a minute ago, she said, now are we through keeping track of how many tracks we pass out? I said, no. Our goal is 11,000 contacts. We're at 9,000. I said, you could make it for the rest of us, Lois. Based if you did what you did the last 11 weeks, the next 11 weeks, we can be in our goal. But it shouldn't be just her. It should be all of us. We ought to check our position every day. How many tracks did I pass out today? Did I pass out one, two, seven? You keep yours in bundles of seven, right? Bundles of seven. So she knows. She paper clips them together. So she knows how many she passes out. Same way. We have to get every single person ought to be able to pass out one a day. Get you a bundle of seven and just, you know, count them every day. How many do I got left? How many do I need to do today to get back on schedule? It's a whole lot easier to make minor corrections than it is to make major corrections. So check your position every single day. And if you've moved a little bit, then move right back. Just ask the Holy Spirit. Say, I didn't mean to move off my spot. I didn't mean to move off this position. I want to be unmovable. I want to be steadfast. Help me to move back. Help me to get back where I need to be. Help me to get back to that position I did not want to move from. And the Holy Spirit will help us do that if we ask Him. So check your position often. If you see a problem, fix it. The Bible talks about that man that comes to a mirror and see that he's all messed up and doesn't do anything. I think the Bible, I don't know if he calls him a fool or not, but he says it's dumb to go to a mirror to see how you look and see that you're all messed up and then not fix yourself. If you're going to look in the mirror and you see something wrong, fix it. And in the same way, when to be unmovable, we need to keep looking at where we are every day. And if we've moved, move back. Move back. Because it's a lot easier, again, to make a minor correction than it is to make a major correction. Number two, tie on to something that can anchor you where you are. Tie on to something that doesn't move so that you can hang on and not move either. It's a whole lot easier to be unmovable, to be steadfast, if you've anchored yourself to something that doesn't move. Now, the problem is we anchor ourselves to things that do move. You can't anchor yourself to the world because the world moves. You can keep your distance from the world and yet be in a whole lot worse shape than when you started. So, Nick, come back. Okay? Since I'm playing the devil today, I'll continue in that role. Okay? All right. I'm the world. Nick is all of us. What his desire is to keep this distance from the world. I want to be different from the world. I'm just going to keep my distance from the world. Now, the world doesn't stay still. The world moves. You just keep your distance from the world. Okay? The world moves. Now, where is he now? He's right where the world started, right? I remember he started way over here, and now he's still feeling pretty good because he's maintained his distance from the world, but he was where the world was just a little while ago. And the world's going to keep moving. The world's going to keep getting more wicked. And if he keeps his distance from the world, yeah, he can probably say, I've kept my distance from the world. But I tell you what, if most of us would realize where we are and where we came from, we'd be ashamed and we'd say, I don't want to keep my distance from the world. I'm not going to tie myself to the world because the world moves. And the world moves quickly toward evil. So don't anchor yourself to the world. It will move. Don't anchor yourself to friends. It's wonderful to have Christian friends, and I think you ought to have Christian friends that you spend time with. But be careful about who you anchor yourself to. Make sure that they are anchored to something that's not going to move. Many, many Christians have been led astray by people that are that they think are good people, and they are good people, but they get off on a tangent and they move from the truth. So you can't do it to friends. Don't anchor yourself because they move. I can go a step further. Don't anchor yourself to a preacher. Don't anchor yourself to a preacher. Don't anchor yourself to me. I'm a human being just like you are. And I've got to watch myself every single day to be steadfast and unmovable. Don't anchor yourself to me. Don't anchor yourself to your parents. Your parents will move. They may not move much, but they may move. Let me tell you what won't move. This book doesn't move. It's the same forever. Jesus Christ won't move. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's why Paul was so insistent when he gave this instruction to the church that the church should not move. Because many, 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 many people have their lives anchored in their church. And if they're not careful when the church moves, they move too. And we ought to strive to be the kind of church. I love it when people that haven't been here for a long time, they come back and they say, you know, nothing's changed. You got the same kind of sermons now that you had 20 years ago. Some people might think that as a criticism. I take it as a compliment. I don't want us to move. I don't want us to change. And that's why as a church we should strive not to change. Because many, many people have their lives anchored in us. And we shouldn't move. So tie yourself onto something that doesn't move. Tie yourself onto this book. Tie yourself onto the rock of ages that won't move at all. Number three, moving is not growing. Some people have the idea, if I change, then I'm growing, and therefore I'm getting better. But I will tell you that in some cases, changing is a detriment to growing. You take a tree, plant it, let it grow for a number of years. Then dig it up, repot it, plant it in a different spot. What happens? It sits dormant for a while. If it doesn't die, it doesn't grow for a while. It's got to put its roots down into the soil again. Growth goes up and down. It gets taller and deeper. It doesn't move. Okay? Now, I know sometimes growth goes like this, and it's not so good. It needs to go up, and then it needs to go down. But some say, you know, the church hasn't changed. It's been the same. And again, I love it when people say that. Just because a church changes doesn't mean it's growing. Sometimes a church changes for the worse. And the worst thing that you can do is change for the sake of change. I'm going to talk about this when I get to my last point. The worst thing that somebody can do, a church can do, a Christian can do, is say, well, things haven't changed very much. I need to change or else I'm not growing. There are some things you need to do to grow, but just you don't grow simply because you change. The way you grow is to stay unmovable, steadfast, and send your roots down deep. And then deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. That's how you grow. I read in the Baptist paper the other day, they've taken a survey recently that the average Southern Baptist preacher stays 8 months. Right, Brother Tom? Eight months. I want to tell you, you're either way below average or way over average, depending on how you want to look at it. How can you do anything if your pastor only stays 8 months? I mean, you're still getting it. I mean, when you get down to Illinois, and they're just still going to be getting to know you after 8 months. I mean, you can't. And yet, preachers move. Churches sometimes help them move after 8 months. Now, look, I'll be honest with you. I'm sure there's been times in our history where there's been people that said, we need to get a new preacher. We need to get a new pastor. There's been times where I've messed up. Those of you that have been here long enough, you know. I've made mistakes. I've made mistakes in some of the business decisions that we've made that I've led you in. I've made mistakes in some of the ways I've treated certain people. And again, those of you that have been here a long time and have paid attention, you know that. But you've stayed. You've stuck it out. You have said, no, yeah, he may be dumb and he may be unrefined, but every now and then he does something right. And as Frieda tells me, every now and then I preach a good sermon or two. And I know she loves me and she's just kidding me, and so I kid her back. But you've stayed. You've stayed. And the Lord's blessed. And we're not going to change just for the sake of changing. I mean, we're not going to get a TV with a bouncing ball. We're going to keep singing out of the hymn books. We're not going to change. We're not going to do some of the other things that churches are doing just for the sake of change. We're going to stay the same. We're going to be steadfast. We're going to be unmovable. If it worked before, it'll work again. If God blessed it before, he'll bless it again. And I know there'll be times where you'll get discouraged. There'll be times where you get mad and you will want to leave the church. And again, I know, you know, if there's a doctrinal question, if I start preaching some other way to heaven, I expect you to boot me out. In fact, I'll be the first to leave. Whoever preaches from this pulpit ought to preach Jesus Christ, and he's the only way to heaven. They ought to preach that this book is the word of God, and don't take anything away from it, and don't add anything to it. We ought to preach that God's plan is to go out and tell people about Jesus. And if we don't do that, we're not doing what God wants us to do. So let's send our roots down deep. There's going to be times, I know, I'll disappoint you. There'll be times where you'll get mad at me. Don't, and again, if it's not doctrinal, don't leave. The worst thing you can do is to leave. It'll hurt you worse than it'll hurt the church. I mean, again, I tell people when they come, don't come here unless God wants you here. And I tell people the same way, don't leave unless God is telling you to leave. Let's send our roots down deep. Change is not growth. Number four. The parts make up the whole. You remember that little childhood verse that we learned? Little drops of water, little grains of sand make the mighty ocean and the pleasant land. And here's my point. We got to watch every part. We got to watch every part. You got to watch every part of your life to be steadfast. Every part. It's one thing to keep your eye on the Word of God and to stay in the Word of God. But what are you watching on TV? What kind of movies are you watching? Yeah, I'm in my Bible every day. But if you're watching TV and you've been watching it for a while, the programs that you're watching now are worse than the ones you were watching a while ago. Say, preacher, you don't know what I'm watching. It doesn't matter. Unless you're watching that station that shows all the old-time shows, and that's the only thing you watch, the programs that you are watching now are worse than the ones you used to watch before. You're painting with a broad brush. Yes, I know. I know. I would even say the cooking shows that you're watching now are worse than the ones you used to watch before. Because I bet they're using more sherry. And I don't watch cooking shows. You got to watch every part. What kind of books are you reading? What kind of magazines are you reading? Every part makes up our whole. And we may say, oh, no, I haven't moved. The Word of God is the Word of God. Jesus is the only way to heaven. And his plan is to go and tell. Okay, that's good. But there's other parts of your life that if you're not careful, you're going to get off base. You're going to move. I was talking to my mom the other day about something that was going on in the life of a family we know. And the grandmother of this family was a real dear friend of my grandmother. And as a result of that, I got to know her really well. And my mom made the statement. She said, if their grandmother knew what they were doing now, she would come up out of her grave and haunt them. She said she would be so repulsed by what they're doing that if she could, she would come back and straighten them out. And if we're not careful, if we don't keep a watch on all the parts, we'll move. And we can't be steadfast, unmovable. And then number five, my last point, if you're going to change, if you're going to move, do it as a result of the leading of the Holy Spirit and do it on purpose. Don't let Satan trick you. Don't let him move you a little bit at a time and find out later that you moved at his deceit, you moved at his lying. If you're going to change, if you're going to move, do it because the Holy Spirit leads you to do it. And know that he's leading you to do it. I'll use Tom as an example tonight. How long have you guys been coming, Tom? Has it been over?
About a year.
About a year. And Tom, you know, he told me when he came, he said, hey, you know, I'm looking for a church, but we need a place to come while I'm looking. And if you haven't talked to him, you don't know. He's sort of been in a hurry to get to a place and pastor. And I think I'd probably feel the same way if I was in his position. And we've talked several times about, you know, why doesn't the Lord? And every time we've talked about it, I said, you know, God's got his timing. He's got his place. He knows where he wants you. Just sort of hold your horses, and when the right time and the right place, he'll get you there. Now it's happened. So he's going to make a change. But he's going to do it because the Holy Spirit told him to do it. He's going to do it because that's where God is leading him to go. It's been a wonderful part of our church. I mean, couldn't find two people that they've amazed me. Anytime we've had a work day, you could ask them to do anything, and they would do it. I remember when we were, you know, when we had the tent up, and because we were there, and then we had a work day because we needed to put everything away. And I said, Tom, the tent needs washing. And I said, are you game for that? He said, I'll do anything you want, preacher. And so he got out there, and who was helping you? Was it Ed?
I think it was Doug.
Doug. Oh, yeah. All right, so they were out there with the hose and the scrub brush, and they were just squirting the tent, sides, top, and bottom. Ask, do anything you want you to do. Wonderful part of our church. I hate to see him leave. But I know that he's doing what God wants him to do. He's going to a place where God wants him to be. And so he's moving because the Holy Spirit's telling him to. Now, same way, that's how we ought to order our life. When we need to make a change, when we need to move. Now, he won't, and by the way, these people that tell you that the Holy Spirit told them that there's a different Bible, it's not the same Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit won't tell you that this is not the Word of God. Holy Spirit won't tell you there's another way to heaven. Holy Spirit won't tell you there's another plan except for us to go. Holy Spirit won't do that. But the Holy Spirit sometimes comes to us and says, hey, you know, you've been serving at this spot. I want you to serve over here. Or I want you to serve over here. Or I want you to serve over here. And when he does that, we need to do it on purpose. We need to follow his leadership. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know, your labor is not in vain. And it's not. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the instruction that it gives us. And I pray again, Father, that you would help us to be an unmovable, steadfast people, that we would abound and abound and abound and abound in your work. I pray if there's somebody here tonight that's never asked Jesus to be their Savior, help them to understand tonight's the easiest time it's going to be for them to do that. Help them to understand that Jesus died for them. He paid for their sins on Calvary, and he wants them to come and get saved. And I pray, Father, if there's just one here tonight that's never done it, that in the next few moments, Holy Spirit, you would help them see their sin, you'd help them see the penalty for that sin, and you'd help them come and ask Jesus to save them. I pray for the many Christians that are here. The vast majority, if not all of us, are saved. And I pray, Father, that if we have moved, if we've gotten off something that you didn't want us to get off of, that we'd come back. Help us to come back to that spot. If there's others here that need to make some other decision for you, I pray, Holy Spirit, you would lead them and you would guide them and they would be obedient. Just bless this time of invitation. Use it to build your kingdom. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.